Thank you, everyone who read. At this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Karen A.
I'm going to act as Karen. And I'm going to actually put my little watch on, so I'll have an idea where I am in space and time. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous. And I keep trying to remind myself that it's not about me, so I don't need to be nervous. Being nervous is like a self-centered thing, and that's not what this program is about. We're actually talking on steps 8 and 9. I was thinking that maybe I should like qualify myself or something, because I know when I listen to the speakers on tapes, I always think, well, maybe they didn't do what I did, or they haven't been through what I have been, so I can't relate to them. And then I thought, well, you know, if I say I'm an addict, that's my qualification. I'm going to spend a lot of time on that. And I was also thinking about wishing that we could like have just a few lights on, so I'd feel more anonymous. I go to a lot of I've been to a lot of meetings where it's like candlelight, and I really find those comfortable and comforting, because I can get really caught up in what are you wearing, and that means you're like this, or who are you sitting with, and what does that mean? But 8 and 9. With my sponsor, I've always done structured step work in the sense that I read the basic text, and now that it works out why, that one as well, and write about my reaction to what I've read, and then read it back over with her and see what comes from that before actually making a list. And I remember I spent some time floundering around with 12-step programs before I got clean, so I'd had some exposure to other fellowships. And the very first time that I was in a meeting and I saw the 12 steps on the wall, you know, hanging, it wasn't in an AA meeting, and I remember thinking, I think the topic was 8 and 9, actually, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, 8 and 9, no problem, you know, people owe me amends. I am the poor victim here, and I need for you to apologize to me. So I was kind of looking forward to those steps in some way or something, because people were going to make up to me, you know. And that's kind of funny for me to remember, and laughable now that I really carried the victim role in my life and in my using for a long time. And you know, that's why our steps are in order, I understand now, today, because I could see me going around trying to demand amends from people or something really silly. It's probably about as destructive as making amends too soon. And fortunately, I got a sponsor pretty quickly, and I started working the steps, and like I said, in a structured way. And she directed me after I finished my 4-step, 5th, 6th, 7th, to go back to my 4-step and start looking at my 4-step again, which is... It was kind of funny because I thought, what do I do with this now that after I did the 5th step? What should I do with my 4th step? You know, people go through rituals where they burn it and things like that. And, you know, they will save it for later. And I'm thinking, okay, what for? And it was so I could find my 8th step list, or to help at least give me a start. And, you know, I found that most of the folks I had resentments toward were the ones I also owed amends to. And that was kind of an interesting realization, because I really thought, I was kind of done with them because I got over what my parents did to me and my brothers and ex-husband and boyfriends and what the school did to me and the community and that basketball coach who cut me in high school, you know, all these different things. And, you know, that wasn't the case. It was continuing. The process was going as it continues to do today. So I made the list and read it over with her and explained. She wanted to know why I thought I owed those people an amend. So let me back up first to the importance to be reminded by my sponsor that it's just the list, because to try not to project is difficult. Because certainly if I'm going to project about actually facing these people or these institutions or financial amends, I get paralyzed and I wouldn't be able to write and continue on with the list. And you know, I need a lot of help with that. I need to go to meetings and hear other people had gone through and continue to read the literature and be reminded that, you know, if I have higher power and I keep that higher power in my life, that I will be taken care of no matter what. And, you know, get back to the list. And then trying to figure out what was the harm I did to this person or institution. Why is it on my list? And, you know, interestingly enough, a couple people didn't belong on that list. And my sponsor, after we discussed it, said, you know, take them off. And you know, I'm kind of sliding into 9 years. You know, 8 was really in terms of spiritual principles. I did a little bit of research, looking in our literature, that it was about justice and fairness, and of course, you know, trying to be impartial and just get honest with my responsibility in what I had done to others. And you know, I believe it's in step 8 that's where I'm supposed to be getting to the point where I can understand people rather than worrying about understand me. You know, it's moving further from that victim role that I lived in for so long. So I made my list, and we were going through it and figuring out who really needed to be on it, and of course, what was the harm that I had done to people, and then, you know, what's the amends going to be? And I needed a lot of help with what would the amends be, because like some of the old boyfriends in my life or ex-husband, you know, I wanted to go find them, seek them out, talk to them, you know, just do all this stuff and like almost recreate a relationship with them when I had no connection with them whatsoever. And, you know, my sponsor was real helpful once again. Asking me to take a look at my motives for the ideas of how I thought I should make amends to people. And her comments about, like, my ex-husband and one ex-boyfriend in particular was, you know, that was really more about me getting something from them rather than, you know, freeing up myself to move on with my recovery. And so the amends for those folks were indirect in the sense that I found an address where I could mail a letter, and I wrote the letter, reread it with her. She helped me edit it. Because I also found that in making the amends, I had the tendency to just, like, beat myself up in the letter. And just, I'm so sorry, I was so miserable, and I did all these terrible things, and da-da-da. And it was just kind of like a groveling, degrading, rather than, this is what I did, and, you know, I'm sorry for having done these things to you, and I've moved on with my life, and I see that you have too, and I hope your life goes well, and, you know, whatever else, little niceties to add on. And, you know, I think at that point I was getting remarried when I was doing some of those letters, and so part of it was for me to clean that up before I entered into this new relationship, to kind of clear that away. And, you know, that was kind of a disappointment in a sense, too, because I was getting a little bit excited and wound up for some chaos in my life. Well, I'm going to go seek Eric out and Daniel out and see if I can get a place back in their lives, maybe, in some sick way. You know, I didn't want to be married to them anymore, but, you know, my disease is still alive. You know, I've been clean for a few 24 hours, but it's still alive in my mind, in my head, in my thinking, and it tries to get out in my behavior, of course. So work through the indirect amends in the sense that I mailed letters to people. And I, you know, I'd done some stealing in my years, and I did the financial things that my sponsor and I decided to do. I had some books I remember real well that I'd stolen from the library. You know, I don't know, I was probably like 13 years old. And, but of course I was using, and it was all about, in my active addiction, what did I do? And so I donated basic text to them, and, you know, anonymously, and I felt really good about those things. And I've also, since one of my, a lot of my amends are kind of ongoing. I'm making some direct amends, but they're also, of course, ongoing, and that's pretty key for me in terms of what does amend mean. It means changing my behavior. I don't just say I'm sorry and that's it, because if I just say I'm sorry and that's it, I'm very likely possibly to do it again. And then, you know, then I'm just having to rework step 10, I guess, you know, just keeping it in my life. And one of my things when I was using was I got a lot of prescription drugs from doctors, a lot of narcotics and barbiturates. I've suffered from migraine headaches for many years, and it was real easy to get lots of drugs from lots of doctors and use them as I chose to rather than as dispensed and as prescribed. And of course, that was something I carried too, that I didn't have a problem because they were legal and the doctor gave them to me, you know, the disease. Back to the denial and rationalization and justification. But I try to give basic texts to physicians a lot of times, the ones that I go to after a while, because actually, of course, when I go see them, I have to tell them I'm an addict first off and get that real clear up front if I ever have to get medication. Some of the, of course, the harder ones have been family. I had a grandmother who I did the best that I could in terms of making the amends before she died, and I'm really grateful that I did take the time to tell her I'm sorry for not having been there for her more, because that's a lot of my amends as well, was more neglect and being absent, because I was either maybe there kind of sorely physically, but I was definitely absent emotionally, and I didn't participate as a daughter, as a sister, as a friend, as a wife, as, you know, I really need to, especially now that I'm clean. So I made my amends to her, and it ended up being the last time I saw her, and I didn't know that she was going to die. I was just at that point where she was on my list. She was there. We had a moment alone, no nurses. She's in a nursing home, and, you know, up and down kind of condition, and none of my parents were there, and I got to have her for a few minutes by myself. So I said what I needed to say, and of course I started crying, and, you know, my biggest fear about making amends is that I'll cry and I'll get emotional, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to show you how I feel. I'm afraid of emotions, and I was sitting in on the surviving my emotions some, and, you know, I was chuckling to myself, because I was thinking, yeah, surviving my emotions, yeah, I put on my boots and my armor and drive a big truck and have a big dog, and that's how I survive my emotions, and I march through. But I made amends with my one grandmother, and the other one that I'm working on with her is just to stay in contact with her, send her letters, you know, send her things in the mail. I don't get up to visit a whole lot, and there's lots of reasons about that. Don't need to go into, but, you know, just to be there, to be a granddaughter. What does a granddaughter do? You know, you keep in touch with your grandmother. No matter what kind of a person she is, whatever I think of her, doesn't matter. My amends are that, you know, I hated her, I judged her, you know, gussed her, we drank together, you know, all this stuff, whatever. But my job is to, in terms of making amends, is to be responsible for keeping in touch with her and being there for her if I can in any way. And listening to whatever she has to say, or just listening a lot of times with older people, that having time to spend with them is a big gift. My mother was a real tough one, because I've had a lot of loathing for her for many, many years for a lot of different reasons. And she happened to get sick with cancer. It's like all for me with step work. A lot of times, you know, I can see my higher power much more clearly when it's over, after I've worked the steps, but that particular step, I mean, she got cancer, and, you know, you just don't know with cancer. And I remember going, you do this, I don't want to be one of those people that said, you know, my mom is dead, I hadn't done it yet, and so now I have to go to her grave and do a graveside amend. You know, I don't have to do that. You know, Karen, if you don't make the amends now, you're making a choice to put it off and, you know, cause yourself a lot of guilt later. And I guess I've also thought about this in terms of preparing to speak, that it's also, I think, for me, making a reservation. It's holding a reservation, making a reservation to use at a later point because of the guilt that's going to come if I don't make the amend while I can. And, you know, that one was amazing, another amazing little story for me, for my recovery, in that, I guess I have to back up again. My sponsor had directed me to make amends to the family members, my two brothers, my dad, my mom, by writing them the amend, saying it to them, and then giving them the card. And, you know, it took definitely a lot of time with the writing them and getting it right, going it over with her and getting it all straight. And then it was giving it to them, after saying it and giving it to them. You know, I managed to get her alone. It's kind of like I had a lineup, getting her alone, being willing, having the card ready, and doing it all in terms of timing. You know, that's another piece for step nine. I don't want to bust in on somebody and say, blah, 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 you know, kind of purge on them my amend and not really look out for what they need, because then I'd be just be creating more harm, you know, harming them more without giving them a chance to be ready for it, in terms of what's going on in their lives. So we sat down. They have a house out in the country. We were there, and I started going over and telling her how I had really judged her a lot all my life, and, you know, distanced myself from her and not been much of a daughter, you know. And I went on and laid it all out, and I gave her the card, and she was shocked. She was just, like, didn't know what to say or do, and I guess she probably gave me a hug, and that was the end of it. And probably about a year, almost a year later, on my birthday, she sent me this card where she more or less made an amends to me. And I was like, oh, just blown away, and I was, you know, crying, and made... The next time I saw my sponsor, showed her that, and of course she cried, and I was crying, just how amazing this program is, you know, how much that relationship has healed from, you know, when I was born, and all the years, and everything that went on, to I work the steps of this program, I follow the suggestion you guys have given me, and I don't pick up, of course, then I've got all this freedom, and all these choices, and luckily some faith to take some steps toward these positive choices, and gifts come of them. And I actually, as a result of my disease, went back to live with my parents for a few years, and I think that's a big part of, for me, being able to make amends, is rebuilding a relationship with them by living in their house, and, you know, humbling myself to doing that, and being a daughter again, and learning how to be a daughter to them. My brother was leaving for the Peace Corps, so that helped me with the pressure that he's going to be gone for 2 years. If you want to do this now, and you better do it now. I need that last-minute pressure, I guess. You know, procrastination is definitely one of my defects, and I still have two that I have not yet done with the letter. Tell it to them and give them the letter, and it's my dad and my brother, my older brother. And... you know, I have the stuff written out on my paper. I haven't been able to make myself sit down, transfer it to the card, and go do it. You know, I think about why does that, you know, people are asking me, are you willing? And I'm like, well, I feel willing. I'm just terrified. You know, does it mean I'm not willing if I'm really afraid? And I keep thinking if I need to just, like, go to a meeting and sit there and write it in a meeting, because I feel like once I get the card written, it'll be so... upfront in my mind and in my emotions that I'll just have to make myself, like, schedule an appointment with them or whatever I need to do so that I can do that. Because, you know, making amends is about me and my recovery. It's not about making them necessarily feel better or fixing anything, because I don't know how they'll take the amends. Because I don't know if I can fix it. I'm not that powerful. I can change my behavior towards them, but I don't know if I can fix the pain that I've caused them, the harm. My step is to make the amend and, you know, leave the rest to my higher power. And back to, I guess, the ongoing amend, that's another thing that I've been doing with all my family members, is being a part of their lives. Being there for the weddings, the funerals, the baptisms, the graduations, whether I want to go or not, whether it's a financial hardship or not, whether I have to take off work or not, whether I have to take off work without pay or not, you know, whatever it is, that's what I need to do. Because a lot of times I don't want to go to those things, I don't want to go to group things, I mean, there might be alcohol there, you know, I can go up all the lists why I shouldn't go. But, you know, if it is even a thing that's going to involve alcohol or something, I can still take somebody from recovery with me, and I can have my own transportation so I can leave. And you make it safe enough to be there for them. And those are all new things that you guys taught me here. Because I was so into, they hurt me, you are mean, you are bad, you are nasty, I'm this poor victim, I'm also very self-righteous, so I know what is right. And I am right, you are wrong. And, you know, and if you're really alone in a lot of pain when I carry things that way. But, you know, the other thing, I guess, that goes with step 9 for me, too, or another thing, is the self-discipline that's required for me to make them, to actually successfully be able to check them off my list. You know, it's quite a feeling for me to be able to go back to my little spirals where I keep things and put down the date when it was done. It's like, wow. You know, and then I get to go to a meeting soon and say, I made my amends with my high school friend, Sherry, and it's just like, oh, such a great feeling. For me, and it is about doing the responsible thing in terms of them, but it's also about freeing myself of the burdens and the guilt that I carry around, and it can definitely lead me back out to use. I remember when I first came back to the Northern Virginia area, I'd been gone for about 10 years, and as a result of my disease and bottoming out, I came back up to the Northern Virginia area, moved in back with my parents, and tried to hide from anybody that I might have known from my past. And I don't mean active addiction past, I just mean growing up past, because I was so ashamed. And I would hear people in meetings, like talking about step nine and saying how they would walk down the street, their head down, ignoring people, change from one side of the street to another to avoid someone because they were ashamed or for whatever reason they were trying to avoid them. And I really related to that. And of course my ears perked up, because then came the hope and then came the help, because the person said further on that, you know, today I can walk wherever I need to walk with my head up, because they'd made their amends, they'd cleaned up their side of the street, and, you know, had some pride, had some self-esteem back. So, you know, without other addicts being here before me to share those things, and, you know, gratefully for my ears to have been open to hear it, I wouldn't be able to do this. I wouldn't be able to think that it would get any better, so why do it? You know, I'm fine, I got steps 1, 2, and 3 taken care of, I'll stay here. Or, okay, I got through the 4th and 5th, okay, maybe some defects, okay, but step 9, you know, facing those people and facing how I'm going to feel, don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. But then when I hear about the hope in people saying how much freedom they've gotten from making amends and being able to walk with your head up and not feeling like I have to dodge people in the store. I mean, I have a grocery store that I cannot go to without seeing somebody I know. I have a video store, you can't go there without seeing somebody you know. And I really was hiding from people, because I didn't want to tell them what I've been doing. It was just simple stuff. You know, how are you? What's going on? I've been using drugs for the past 15 years heavily. Been divorced. Quit my job so I wouldn't get fired. And I didn't really wasn't into lying about it either. So then I just had the shame and the embarrassment to deal with by hiding. So the self-discipline is important for me to hold on to, so that I can get these other two taken care of. And I'm looking down at my little list, because I wrote down things that I want to make sure I said. The last two that are also ongoing are to myself and to my higher power. And I think for many years, you know, I couldn't put myself on there, just because I felt so miserable about myself as a human being that I didn't deserve amends anyway. And I'm starting, I think, to get enough self-esteem back and enough self-awareness going on in my life to see how I treat myself. And I don't even mean outwardly, I think about how I treat myself in my head. How degrading I am and self-berating I am in my head to myself. That I really have a choice about that today. And it's a conscious choice. So once I catch it, then I have my choice. And it ties in with one of my favorite lines from the first step in the basic text that says, unless we completely change our old ways of thinking, we'll go back to using. And, you know, I carry with that one really strongly, because after getting clean, I was able to fairly quickly, within the first year, I guess, realize how obsessive and compulsive my thoughts and behaviors are, even not related to drugs. You know, I'll get stuck on something stupid I said to somebody, and it's just like in my head about how stupid you are and what's wrong with you and you're such a jerk. Well, why didn't you say this? You know, it's like, jeez. And, you know, I found I'm not alone, which is a real gift, and I get that from this program. When other addicts take the risk to share the noise that goes on in their heads, you know, I get the hope and the help to know that I'm not alone. So I'm in the right place. You know, the next thing is I wonder how you deal with it. But amends to myself is definitely a focus for myself in terms of daily life, that I have the, I guess, perfectionist, people-pleasing defects that really run a lot of behaviors. And, you know, I work a lot. I like what I do, but I work a lot. And then I'm frustrated because I'm physically sick, spending too much time at work and not getting out exercising or not eating right because I haven't taken time to get those foods together or whatever. And you know, I deserve to be taken care of that way, to take the time for myself to be healthy in mind and body, as well as spirit, which I feel like the program gives me, you know, certainly the physical health without the drugs in my system, but also the spiritual health by having a higher power and having these steps to work through and these spiritual principles to work on and try to get them, you know, more integrated into my life and, you know, all areas of my life and into myself. And then also, you know, towards myself, I would go to a women's meeting on a Thursday night, and we have spiritual principles in a little, like, God bag. And we pulled out unconditional love one time, and, you know, I always think about how I'm supposed to give it to other people. And, you know, when I see the spiritual principle, I'm most of the time thinking about how I'm supposed to be sharing that with others. And it hit me one night when we were on that topic that I can be a recipient of that too. I mean, I just get in there and I get so focused on what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do this right, and, you know, because I've done all these terrible things and I'm an awful addict and I, you know, just messed up so many things in my life, and I forget to give myself some of that love or be open to receiving it from you guys. And I forget that my higher power is always there for me as well. And I get really caught up in everything that's going on and blah, blah, blah. You know, all the things I've gotten back in my life as a result of being clean and a result of working the steps and having a program. So, you know, I'm grateful that I still go to meetings and I get those things there. And, you know, unconditional love is out there for me as well as for me to give to you. And then making amends to my higher power. You know, I was raised with a religion, and I didn't have a choice. It was what I was given. And, you know, today I have a choice. And I pretty much, you know, like what we have in our basic texts. Caring, loving, greater than me. And go with it from there. You know, I've done what I can do to make the amends to that particular religion, that church. And so I've cleaned up my side so I can move on and further develop my relationship with my higher power. You know, take what I want from what I grew up with, because a lot of it's similar. You know, a lot of those spiritual principles are pretty much all inclusive, comprehensive. But I, those are just definitely ongoing amends that I have to work on with myself and my higher power, and in building that relationship. And I did it. I talked the whole time. But I wanted to say thank you for coming in, so we had somebody to share with, and thank you to the committee for asking me to share, because it's definitely been an honor and a treat, and thanks for being here for me.
Thank you, Karen. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker. This is Mitch.
Good evening, family. I'm Mitch, and I'm an addict. And it's good to be here, you know, and that's for real, you know. And I always say that, you know, because I always said that any day with my head above ground is a good day. You know, no matter what else is going on in my life, you know. And I'm going to qualify myself a little bit. I didn't just wake up one morning and want to do this and, you know, come in Narcotics Anonymous. No, it didn't happen like that. You know, I woke up one morning and found myself going in jail, you know what I'm saying, another time. You know, don't know how I got there. You understand what I'm saying? But I found myself walking through the door, and one of the counselors telling me that I need to go into sober living. You know, and I told her she was crazy, that she needs some sober living. You know, because, see, I thought I was all right, you know, for real, until I got upstairs in that jail, and them young boys was beating on the tables early in the morning listening to that rap video. You know, and I know then that I needed some help, you know. I really did. So I went downstairs, and I went down there for all the wrong reasons, really. I went down there to escape from up there. And after getting down there, things started happening for me. You know, I started hearing, you know, that if I didn't pick up, that I wouldn't get high. And things of that sort, you know, and it made a whole lot of sense. It makes a whole lot of sense today, I put it like that. At the time, it didn't make sense, because, see, I was content at getting high for the rest of my life. You know, and going to jail every once in a while to clean out. But, you know, after being down there and finding out that I didn't have to live like that no more, you know, and I had got a year sentence when I was down there, and I appealed that sentence and got out, you know, when I beat my appeal. And when I was getting out, I went to the counselor when he told me after being down there for 4 to 5 days, so you're going home, So now he said, you're going back to court. My lawyer called me and told me, said, you're going back to court tomorrow. I said, we'll probably beat this in a charge. I said, okay. So when she told me that, because I had a lady for a lawyer, when she told me that, I got real scared, y'all. I immediately went to one of the counselors down there and told them that I did not want to go home. You know, and see, and I know then and there that somewhere in my life there had been a rude awakening. Anytime I didn't want to leave jail, but see, they told me, so I'm going to tell you some things that might save your life. And they did. They told me, so when you leave here, go to a meeting immediately. And when you leave the meeting, go to the shelter. You know, I said, go where? He said, to the shelter. Because, see, I thought a guy like me that had it going on, you know what I said? I ain't want to go to no shelter. Humble myself and go to a shelter. But, see, he also asked me one other question. He said, where you going? I said, I'm going back to this young lady that loved me dearly. He said, how you know she loved you? I said, because she never put me out till it was raining, snowing, and real, real cold. That's the only time she asked me to leave, you know. And he said, well, is your name on the lease? I said, no. He said, well, you're homeless then. Go to the shelter. You know, so I humbled myself. I said, well, I'll do that. And he also gave me some numbers. He said, call these some people. And I looked at those numbers and the names, and I said, damn, I know all these some people. You know, but it was people that I hadn't seen in a period of some of them 20, 25, and 30 years, some of them, simply because they were in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous living life on life terms, and I was out there still getting high. And so I called those people, and they said, stay where you are. I said, we're going to come get you, and we're going to love you till you learn to love yourself. You know, and they did. They came and got me. And while I was in that shelter, I found me a sponsor. You know, I got a sponsor, and he told me, he said, well, you know, you here? I said, what you doing? I said, well, you know, I'm working on step, you know, such and such a thing. Because, see, I'd been in sober living that joint for about 45 days. So, you know, I did a whole lot of reading. You know, I said, I'm working on step, whatever, you know, maybe in 6 or 7. He said, well, I tell you what, so go back to step 1 and read until I tell you different. I said, what? You know, I went back and I read, you know, and I called him back. Well, you know, and every day I was calling him. He told me, said, what you doing? I said, I'm still on 1. He said, well, stay there till I tell you to stop. What I'm trying to say is I stayed on step 1, you know, until quite a while, really. 1, 2, and 3. And I stayed on them. Then I said, well, you know, he told me, said, it's time to do some more work. I said, time to do some more work? He said, yeah. He said, well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He said, since, you know, I don't really have the time, so I'm going to direct you to somebody that can work with you on those steps. And he did. He directed me to a step sponsor, which I still have today. You know, he told me, said, go to him, said, because he have a lot of work in the steps. And I did. You know, and I went there and I did a 4-step with him, you know. And I went down, and right after that, I went on a retreat, on a spiritual retreat down in Maryland, and I did a 5th step down there beside the water. And during that 5th step down there, it did a whole lot for me. You know, I left a whole lot of things down beside that water. You know, down by the water, it's a whole lot of serene, and I guess we know that from being here. You know, and I did a 5th step down there, and, you know, I was real uplifted after I did that. And I came back, and I did a 6 and a 7, you know what I'm saying? And then he took my step sponsor looked at me and said, well, mate, you know, say, it's time to do an 8. You know, I said, 8? He said, yeah. I said, make a list of all people you had harmed. You know, so I made a list. You know what I'm saying? I made a list, and I made a real small list, and I gave it to him. Because, see, I hadn't really knocked that many people in the head. You know what I'm saying? You know, I gave him that list. I said, this is the list. He said, this is the list? He looked at it. He said, that ain't it, mate. He said, you look up harm. I said, harm is when you hurt somebody or something, hit them or something. He said, no. I said, look up. He said, when you cause them, you know, mental, physical, emotional harm. So that's harm. So I had to look at that, you know, so I had to go back and I had to make another list. You know what I'm saying? I put myself down on that list first. It's what I did. He said, did you harm yourself? I said, yeah. Also, I had a son. I put him down on the list. And I also put my son's mother. You know, after talking to him, he told me to do that. I said, well, I really didn't cause them no harm. Because when I started shooting dope, you know, and running wild, I left them. You know what I'm saying? He said, well, think about the emotional pain that you caused them when you left. You know, I said, well, yeah, but I said, I might have left him. I said, but I still took care of him to a certain extent. He said, but you wasn't there with me. So that's, you know, that's pain. I said, well, okay. So I sat down and I made another list. You know, I put him on a list, you know, and I made the list, you know, and I kept that list, you know, because he said, the list is not, you know what I'm saying, it's not for them necessarily, it's for you, you know, it's for you. You know, and he also told me, And it's not about just some program, but you making that list. It's you making that list to get spiritual, really spiritually connected and start to form a relationship with people. You know, I said, but I'm all right with people for real. He said, but you got to make that list, and you got to make a list. He said, go back to your fifth step, to your fourth step, and get some of the people from there that you cause harm to, you know. So I went back to that, and I got some people from there, and I put them on my list. You know, and I made that list. Then I went back to him, you know, and I gave him that list. You know, after I thought I had did a, you know, made a thorough list, and I gave it to him, he said, now, what you going to do now? You know, I said, well, you got the list. He said, well, it's time to go back and make some direct amends, you know. And so I did that. I went back. The first one I went to was my son. I went to him, you know, and I talked to him, and I told him, you know, all the harm and pain that I caused him, you know. And he said, well, he really understood. You know what I'm saying? He said, well, I understand. And I told him, I said, the reason I did it was not me. It was my addiction. You know what I'm saying? I said, and I had no control over it. You know, and he took it real, you know, my son took it real nice. And then I went back to my son's mother, and I talked to her about it. You know, and she was a very understanding woman, so she took it also, you know, real, you know, kind of lightly. And, you know, just told me, said, all we want you to do is do better in your life. You know what I'm saying? Let us see what you are doing that's different. You know, and I started doing that. I started to, you know what I'm saying, started walking a straight and narrow road, I should say. You know, I started feeling good about self. And I started improving on a whole lot of areas that I had messed up in. You know, because see, when I was using, for real, I didn't care about nobody but myself. You know, I was so self-centered. You know, if it wasn't about me, it wasn't about nothing. You know, and that's for real. You know, and I thought the whole world owed me something, for real. But today I know that the world didn't owe me nothing. You know what I'm saying? You know, the world did not owe me nothing. You know, and I also know today that if life was fair, that I wouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, I did all the wrong things in trying to die for so long. You know, and I kept on, you know, on that list, and I kept back, and I kept, you know, conferring with my sponsor, my step sponsor on that. You know, and we do step meetings, you know, once a week, and it's a continuous basis. We've been going on for about 5 years. You know, every month we do a step. You know what I'm saying? And I was giving him that A-step list, and every time I would give it to him, he'd tell me, he said, this ain't complete yet. So go back and put some more there. See, I know there's more people that you harmed than that. You know, and I kept on going back, you know, replenishing that group, that list, putting more people up there, you know. And each year that I do it, which is a yearly thing, each year I do the eighth step in the eighth month, and I had to put more people up there, you know, that I harmed. Because, see, I know today that I harmed a whole lot of people, a whole lot of people, you know. But, see, today I know, you know what I'm saying, that if I continue to do what I'm doing, and follow you people, you know, that everything in my life is going to be all right. You know, and see, he also told me, you know, after I made that list, he said, you know, there's, you know, resentments, anger, and fear, you know what I'm saying, that keeps me involved with, you know, all the things that I've done. He said, but there is a bridge to all those things. You know what I'm saying? But said, we got to cross that bridge. You know, he told me what that bridge was, the willingness, that I had to be willing to do all the things, to go back and apologize and make direct amends to these people that I had put on that list. And I said, but, you know, I said, I don't want to face all of them, because, see, some of them I done real harm. I can't go back and tell, you know what I'm saying, these people that I took, you know, a lot of things when they look, I did you wrong and all that. They might not want, you know, they might want to knock me in the head. I might be the one getting knocked in the head. He said, but we got to do it, mate. You know, said, we got to do that. We got to make the list, and we got to be willing. Saying it's not necessarily for them, it's for you. You know, how they feel about you is a different story, but how you feel about yourself. Because, see, he told me that the eighth and ninth step was the willingness step and action steps. That if I didn't do no action, there was nothing going to happen. You know, and see, he told me, said, you got to bridge that gap. See, because on the other side of resentments, he told me there's acceptance. You understand what I'm saying? If I got resentments against somebody, I got to find out why I got it and what in them that I see that might be something that I see in me, the reason I can accept them for where they at. And until I become willing to cross that bridge and to accept them, then I'm not going to get any help myself. You know, and see, I went on and I kept, because see, there's some people in my life right today that me and them have a whole lot of problems. You know, I fight, you know, and argue with this individual for days and days and days. And it's about little things that, you know what I'm saying, that don't even matter. It's another man, you know what I'm saying? And I guess I see so much in him of the things that I did for so long that, you know, that I don't want to forgive him and accept him for where he at. But see, and I fight with this every day, and my sponsor tells me, and says, until I get better with him and learn to accept him, then I ain't going to grow none. You know what I'm saying? And that he's going to help me grow in that area. You know, and every day that I see this guy, you know what I'm saying? you know, I'm getting better in it. You know, I can truly, truly say that I'm getting better in it. You know, I can see myself getting better. If don't nobody else see it, I might curse him out every day, you know what I'm saying? Want to get my baseball bat out the car, you know, and hit him in the head, you know, but I ain't did it yet. You understand what I'm saying? So I know that I'm getting better, and I'm getting better simply because, you know, I turn it over to, you know what I'm saying, I turn it over to my God, you know, and I talk to somebody about it. And he told me that I got to learn how, you know, I got to turn these resentments that I got for this young guy, you know, into acceptance. I got to accept him for where he is at. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, he also told me, my sponsor told me, that I can't change nobody but myself. You know what I'm saying? You know, and also he told me that a lot of times that I can love people and do them harm. You understand what I'm saying? If I love an individual and tell them, you know what I'm saying, you know, and I'm talking about me, and I ain't talking about y'all. Like I like to give orders, you know, tell somebody, well, I want you to do this and do that. And if they don't do it, then, you know what I'm saying, and I get feeling about it, then I'm harming them. You know what I'm saying? Or to put them in a bad space because they don't do what I ask them to do, then I'm putting harm to them, what my step-sponsor tell me. I'm, you know, and I believe that today, you know, after coming in this program and finding out that, you know, that I got to accept whoever, whatever, and however. You know what I'm saying? That I can't change nothing. You know, and it's hard a lot of times. It's hard. You know, but it ain't hard enough for me to go out there and pick up, though. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's hard enough for me to, you know, to do some more work and to start in some other areas and do some things and let me know that, you know what I'm saying, that Narcotics Anonymous have actually saved my life. You know what I'm saying? Because when I got here, I wasn't nowhere else to go. There was nowhere else to go. You know, and I'm glad to come in here and have people like y'all in my life. You know what I'm saying? You know, and see, when I, my first 2 or 3 years in the program, you know, all I did was go to dances, you know, and watch the women. That's what I did, y'all. I went to dances and watched the women, and that kept me clean for 3 years. You know what I'm saying? That's being honest. And after that, it was time to do some work, you know. You know, it couldn't be, you know, he told me, he said, you know, it's time for you to change all that, you know what I'm saying, going to dances and going to conventions. Because, see, I did all that. I think I went to every convention. Me and a few other fellas went to every convention on the East Coast. You know what I'm saying? Didn't miss any. And didn't miss very few dances either, wherever they was at. But that was a lot of fun, you know, until it was time to start working on self. You know, and you know, as I said, started incorporating those steps in my life. And that's what I did. You know, and the eighth and ninth, you know what I'm saying, he told me it's action steps. You know, and I got to do some things, you know. And if I don't do that, then I ain't going to change. You know, and I know that, you know. And, you know, as I said, that resentments, I had to, you know what I'm saying, I had to replace the resentments with acceptance. I got to accept them, you know what I'm saying. And the anger that I have for people, which I can get real angry at somebody, as I told you before, I want to get my baseball bat and go to work. You know what I'm saying? He told me I had to replace that with love, you know. Had to actually love them. You know, and it's hard to love somebody sometimes, you know what I'm saying, when you don't really, you know, want to love them, you know. But, you know, I know today that I have to do that, you know, and that I can't beat them in the head, because if I beat them in the head, I'm going to jail. You know, I know that. And see, and I don't like jail, you know, no more. You know, I don't like it enough to go down there and to get confined down there. But I do go down there because, see, I feel like that I harmed society for so long, you know, by doing the things that I've done, taking from society and stuff, that for the last 7 years I've been going to jail 2 nights a week, you know, to do service work. You know, and that's giving it back to society. You know what I'm saying? Because I harm society real bad. You know, And I harm, you know, myself probably worse than anybody else. But I do go back down there all those times. You know, and it's not about me today. You know what I'm saying? That self-obsession is not about me. I know that today, you know. It's about giving back, you know what I'm saying, what was freely given to me. You know, it's not a whole lot of self-centeredness in my life today. You know what I'm saying? And believe it or not, it's a whole lot of serenity in my life. You know, and a lot of things, a lot of times be going on around me. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and life and, you know, shit be happening. You understand? I'll put it like that. But, you know, as long as I'm in my space and don't act out on it, you know, no matter what's going on, you know, if I'm all right with it, then that's complete surrender for me. You know, I can't change it no matter what it is. You know, and I also found out since being here, you know, and you know, that I'm either going through something or just got out of something or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And they tell me that that's life. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, I got to change, that I can't change nobody else, you know. And I can't make nobody else do what I want. Except then ain't nothing that's going to happen. You know, and that, as I say, that anger, a lot of time, I got to replace it with love for somebody. You know, and the fear that I had, you know, I didn't want to go back and tell those people that I had harmed for so many years why I did them like this, you know, or why I took from them, or why, you know what I'm saying, I did whatever. I got to replace that with faith. You understand what I'm saying? The faith in that. If I set, do it with faith, then I know that I'm putting it in the trust of, you know, the God of my understanding. You know, because, see, I know he's going to carry me through no matter what. You know, no matter what, the God of my understanding is going to bring me out of whatever I'm going through. You know, but I do know today, the step work, you know what I'm saying, which when I got here, they told me, my step sponsor told me, that this right here, he showed me those steps. He said, this right here is the prescription to this here disease that you got. And so you got to incorporate them in your life. So we ain't got to, you know, we ain't going to talk about them. We're going to work them and incorporate them in our lives. And that's what I do. You know, that's what I do. You know, I do step work, you know, once a week, you know, with a step sponsor. You know, and it's been real, you know, uplifting to me, you know what I'm saying? And what I'm saying is Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, y'all, and these 10 steps. You know, that's the bottom line. Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. You know, I don't know whether to get me in heaven or not. I don't know that, but I do know it got me out of hell. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, today, you know, I don't wake up in those places that I used to wake up at. You know, the day I was here at the convention, I woke up in a bed, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I was all right. You know what I'm saying? I was all right. I came. I've been in meetings basically all day. You know, it's been real good today, you know. And every day, you know, that I don't use, as I said, is a good day in my life. You know, and these steps, you know, is the key for me. You know, that 8 and 9, as they say, those action steps, you know, have really, you know, brought me along with. When I was coming down here, you know, I was trying, you know, I had been dealing with my sponsor, asking me, what am I going to talk about? I'd sat down and got all kind of stuff together, you know, that I'm going to talk about this and don't talk about that, you know, and I said, no, I ain't going to do it like that. And this morning I woke up and I prayed real good, you know what I'm saying? I even got on my knees this morning, which some days I don't get on my knees, but I do pray. I pray every day. Whether I get on my knees or not is a different story. You know, because, see, I still got that, you know what I'm saying, that ego. Y'all know that, you know, you don't want to see nobody see you get on your knees. I'm talking about me now. I ain't talking about y'all. You know, but this morning I got on my knees because I was by myself. Couldn't nobody see me. You know what I'm saying? So I fell on my knees and I prayed real good, you know, and I stayed in, you know, all morning, and I was getting myself together what I was going to say. I said, I'm just going to go and talk and open up and let it flow, you know. And, you know, and that's what it's all about. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, I know when I was using, you know what I'm saying, I didn't practice on who I was going to cop from. You know, I just went out there and whatever was there, I got, you know. So whatever came out on me today is what it is, you know. But I do know that, you know, that I have placed the fear that I had in this inner program, you know what I'm saying, with a whole lot of faith. You know, I know the God of my understanding is going to look out for me every day, you know, no matter what. You know, and I know you people going to, you know what I'm saying, might turn your back a lot of times, but I have a network, y'all. I have a network of people. That no matter what, you know, no matter what I'm going through, you know, my network of people are going, you know what I'm saying, going to see me through, you know. Even coming down here, you know what I'm saying, you know, they told me, so, you know, we're going to be there, you know. And the majority of them are here. The majority of my people are here, you know what I'm saying, my network. You know, and we are like that, you know what I'm saying. We used to, you know, go to conventions and go to meetings, and we'll all get together. We might get four or five rooms right together and stay in there when we ain't in meetings and play bingo or whatever all night, all day, you know, just having fun. You know, and I'm saying it's people that's going to tell me. They ain't going to tell me what I want to hear. They're going to tell me what I need to hear. You know, and they tell me when I'm, you know, if my attitude is funky, they tell me. You know, if my attitude is better, they tell me that, you know. But I thank God for you people, you know, and I thank God for my, you know, for my sponsor, for my step-sponsor is him, you know, and he's always with me, you know, no matter what, and I can always call him and let him know, you know, and I thank God for my sponsor directing me to him, you know what I'm saying, because my sponsor told me, say, I work him, but I ain't that familiar with him, so I'm going to turn you on to somebody that's real, real familiar with him, you know, and he did, you know, and program works. This program works. Anybody say, any newcomers here that have a doubt that it don't, you know, I'm a living example of that this program does work. Because as I told you, you know, I went to jail quite a few times, you know, until I had a rude awakening somewhere in my life, you know what I'm saying, and you people in my life, you know what I'm saying, that started to, you know, all everything started to come together, then everything started working out. You know, and I want to thank y'all for being here for me, and I want to tell each and every one of y'all, if anybody told you today that I love you, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. My name is Alvin Philanatic. I would like to thank Karen and Mitch for sharing. Could someone read just for today?
Good afternoon, my name is Raymond, I'm an addict. Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery. Definitely enjoy life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to work it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So as long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Just for today.
Can we please have a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer? God, grant us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's it. Thank you.